This is one of the deeper sermons that you'll learn in today, and I'm very, very appreciative of the good Lord because He has given us abundant life here on this earth. If you'll take your Bible to Mark 11, verse 12, because it's important that we understand the power that we have over the enemy. If we don't understand it, he beats up on us. If we understand it, we can run him off. It's just what it amounts to. So many Christians never have understood it. They get beat up every day of their life, and they die, and they depart, and they never had victorious living. I want you to have victorious living. That's what we're working at today, and you'll understand it. Father, I thank you we have the ability to hear your voice this day. We'll see your word. It'll literally jump off the pages. It'll not be just something that we listen to again, but it'll be something that'll change our life, that we'll understand that you do sit on the throne, that you do have every enemy on your footstool. And so, Father, we thank you that your enemy is your footstool. And so, Father, we thank you we don't have to worry about the enemy, because greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. And so, Father, we thank you that we'll take a rightful authority this day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, if you'll look at Mark 11, verse 12. This is Jesus telling about him as he's coming back from, or going to Bethany. He became hungry. We're in verse 12. And on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Now drop on down verse 19. And whenever evening came, they would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered and saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you." Now, there's a key in this thing. I was reading this in my own private reading time, and I wasn't looking for a sermon. I was just reading. I enjoy reading the Bible just for the sake of reading it, for my own use, but this thing just jumped off the pages, and that's what I'm going to believe, that the Word of God will jump off the pages for y'all every day of your life. But look at verse 23. "Truly I say to you, whoever says," I want you to understand the key words in this thing, so circle the word says, S-A-Y-S, it's so powerful, "says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast in the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he is saying is going to happen, it shall be granted him." See, the key to it is that we have to say to that mountain. And we have to believe that it's going to happen, just as we said it's going to happen. Now, most people have taken this thing in a negative realm. "Oh, this old car of mine is just going to break down next time I drive it." You know, and it does. They get what they say. See, but let's get over in the positive realm. Let's get over in the ways of God. I'm not going to dwell on the negative. But most Christians sadly stop at the born-again experience. If you'll track with me this morning, you'll understand what I'm getting at. Most Christians stop at the born-again experience. They stop at the cross. They don't go on. Now, that's great if you're going to die immediately. See, you got to have power. You got to have power to overcome the enemy. That's why most Christians get wiped off physically right after they ask Jesus in their heart. You see many Christians dying immediately right after they ask Jesus in their heart. Okay, now, there's just a few that will go on to baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. But they have boldness, but then they don't have any power either. That is where they stop short. They get tongues, they get exuberant in the word and everything, but they don't go on into the authority realm. Only a handful will go into the area of heavenly places. No, Jesus said, or the song this morning, actually, as "For him who sits on the throne." I thought it was very timely. Edwin didn't know he was going to be teaching on this morning. But for him who sits on the throne is a very important thing I want you to get a hold of this morning, because we need to actually learn how to take our authority in Christ Jesus. So I got really excited about that idea of having all of us learn how to get in kingdom living, because kingdom living and taking our authority go hand in hand. See, if we don't take our authority, we won't have kingdom living. And to have kingdom living, you have to take authority over the enemy. Matthew 12:28 says, if you cast out demons, then the kingdom of heaven can come upon you. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Most people will not cast out demons. They don't know what demons is. They don't want to bother them. And you know, they make some sort of arrangement. If you won't bother me, I won't bother you. See, but he's already bothering you. That's why you made that decision. But the point is, what happens to most Christians, they continually ask God in sincere prayer, fervent prayer, for things for God to do for them. And oddly enough, their prayers don't get answered. Now, what went wrong? God doesn't hear them? Sure, he hears them. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of my word. Not the worldly knowledge, but knowledge of my word. Paraphrasing it. But the key to it is, because God doesn't honor the worldly knowledge like he honors our knowledge of the word. So it's important that we get a hold of it. So God has given us authority. In Mark 16:17 says, in my name, those who believe will cast out demons. So there's a requirement for us to do something. We have to take authority. He says, we'll speak with new tongues. Yes, goes with it. They will lay hands on the sick and they die. No, they get well. See, this is what happens. Mark 16:17 says, in my name you'll cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. None of us do it. Or very few of us do it. Handful, maybe. But it's available to anyone who believes. See, this is the key. We have to realize it is available. We have just not taken advantage of it. We have not used it. So the job of having kingdom living is up to us. Oh, man. You know, people say, oh, I don't like that. You know, it is. It's up to us. And you'll see it today. God has given us the authority to have heaven on this earth if we'll take that authority. But we have to take authority. We have to speak to the situation to change. God gives us authority over Satan, but we have to use it. See, he has given us his name above every name, name above whatever you're fighting. Again, in Luke 10:19, it says that he has given to us all authority over the enemy, and nothing shall hurt us. Wow, wouldn't you like to know that? But that's what it says. I'm going to say it again. You might like to look it up tonight. Luke 10:19, that he has given us all authority over the enemy, and nothing shall hurt us. Most people go around worrying of what's going to hurt us. I was listening to a person this week, and they tell me how terrible their body is becoming. And they couldn't do enough to protect their body from all this dreaded stuff that's coming on it. And they was literally worrying wringing their hands. And I thought, oh my, you know, but where do you start? I couldn't start on the parking lot telling that person what they needed to do to get kingdom living. But let's see how we receive this authority. If you look in Ephesians 1:17, we're going to get a hold of this thing. We're going to understand how to take our authority. Ephesians 1:17. This is Paul's prayer. He's praying in verse 16. It says, I mention you in my prayers. So we're going to see what Paul is praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. We need a teachable spirit. That's what he's saying. So I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Verse 20. We're in Ephesians 1:20. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. We're about in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, here we're seeing, this is the foundation of our entire sermon this morning and the lesson we're going to learn. Because verse 20 says, Jesus is seated in heavenly places. Look back up there. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. God seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. So, as far above everything forever. He sits on his throne forever. That's what we're singing just a minute ago. Far above earthly powers. Far above earthly demonic powers. See, he's head of over all things. Head over the church, which is made up of us, his body. See, now track with me this morning. Since Jesus is head over all things, and he is greater than sickness and disease. He is greater than poverty. He is greater than lack or whatever is affecting us. He is greater than any evil or anything that would come against us. So notice he didn't need to be head over all things for God's sake. You think with me? He didn't need it for God's sake. He needed to be head over all things for our sake, for our inheritance. So the church would have authority over all the things that would harass it. He has given us that ability. Well, why doesn't church work then? What's wrong with the church? Why don't we see miracles all the time? Why don't we see answered prayers all the time? Who makes up the church? You and I do. See? We really don't believe that we have authority. That's our problem. Authority is not just for a few believers. It's for every one of us. It's not just for the staff. It's for every one of us. And we have to realize that we have that authority. It's shocking to some people here this morning that you don't know that we have any kind of authority on this earth. Maybe over the old dog in the backyard, but that's it. See? But the problem is we have authority. Can you imagine what it would be like if everyone in here this morning would know their spiritual authority and would exercise it? You think with me. What power we would have, what miracles we would have, what things, unbelievable things would happen because we know our authority. And so that's what we're going to work at this morning. There is no excuse for this church or any other church to remain without power. But remember, Jesus could only do a few miracles in Nazareth because of their doubt and unbelief. And when you think about that, Jesus was prayed up. He was the Son of God. God honored his prayers. But doubt and unbelief will stop the power of God. Now, that's why he ran some of them out of the house at times. When I was reading after Peter went out and raised that lady from the dead. He moved them all out. They said the widows are all around in the room. Dorcas, if I remember her name was. She died. And she was a lady had done many, many things for the people around her. And they was all mourning her death. And he didn't keep any of them in there. He ran them all out and then commanded her to rise up. And she rose up and he presented them back to her. He presented her back to them. But the point is, doubt and unbelief will stop the power of God. And that's the only time you see some problems. And I don't understand that because light drives out darkness. Doubt and unbelief is darkness. But there is something that stops the move of God, and that's doubt and unbelief. So the solution is not to run off everybody in this church, including myself. The solution is to train us. We need all to learn how to do the spiritual authority that we need to do. We need to understand that there is a power, first of all, in operation if we'll take advantage of it. It's there for our having. But we need to realize that faith drives out darkness because it drives out doubt, which is darkness. And you know the interesting thing about it, Jesus said, I am the light of this world. Now, darkness cannot dispel light, but light dispels darkness. So if you'll understand that, you can be one little old candle in a real dark room, and you're going to light up that room to a degree. You can't make it dark enough to put out your candle. So greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And I thank God Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Thankfully, he didn't say I'm the darkness of the world or something like that. We'd be in trouble. But he said, I'm the light of the world. So hang on today. We're going to see 1,000 fly because one can put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000. You get 12 of us going, and I don't know how many numbers that is. But it gets up in the billions. So dream with me. What could 300 people do in dispelling the darkness off this community? What could 3,000 people do if we can get the message out? We could change the world. The 12 disciples, actually 11, they went out and changed the known world, and they changed it at that present time, and then they changed it for 2,000 years. And they didn't have a radio station. They didn't have a Christian school. I'm just facetious, but I'm saying they had a power that we didn't know about. We haven't looked over. We haven't been taught. Now, there's one thing we have to remember. We have authority over Satan, not over people. Let me repeat again. We have authority over Satan, but we don't have authority over people's lives. That becomes witchcraft. When we start commanding things, certain people do certain things. That's not God. We have authority over everything that concerns us. Circumstances, poverty, sickness, disease, lack, whatever. We have authority over that, but not over people themselves. Anything else that would hinder us from the work of God that God has called us to accomplish, we have authority over. That's why we have authority over the elements around us. We can change our environment if we will work at it, if we'll command it to come about, if we choose to believe what God's Word says. Now, why should we get involved in this authority stuff? What's the good purpose of it? Well, we won't have to ask the question when we see what the Scripture says for us. Let's continue on reading. We're in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him, catch that, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus is next to God. Okay, verse 7, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Underline that. That's what we're created for, good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And makes it very clear that we're seated in heavenly places. See? Okay. Far above principalities and powers of this earth. Far above tornadoes and destruction and stuff like that, if we believe it. Jesus rebuked the storm. Did the storm sink the boat? No. See? What did he get on the disciples for? Oh, you have little belief or little faith, I might say. Why did you doubt? Why do you look at the elements around you? I think it's very interesting that Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Now, it's impossible to sleep in water if it's sloshing on you. It'll keep you awake. He was so restful, knowing that his power and his authority, that he wasn't even disturbed. They were panicking. They said, don't you care, we're all going to sink. Jesus knew his authority. He was wanting them to take it. So if we're seated with Jesus, then it's God's plan is for us to rule and reign here on this earth. In this life, over every circumstance, not over just a few or minor ones, but over every circumstance. We are to reign as kings and priests in the life, in this life, through power of Jesus Christ. We can have kingdom living if we'll exercise our authority. And we ought to really get stirred up about this morning. It really ought to make you think, because we have the golden opportunity to rule and reign on this earth. We can tell the devil just get his hands off of us. Wow. That'd be a relief to a lot of folks. See? Offer children. Oh, man, my child is so rebellious. No, you cast that spirit out. See? You don't cast a kid out, you cast the spirit out. Most people cast the kid out. But that's the problem we have in this society. We have a plan, we have a psychological interview of the child, but we never hit the problem that the child is having. I used to tell Bill and Angie, I said, come on, fight with me. I'm not fighting you, fight with me. Let's get rid of that spirit of rebellion, or let's get rid of the spirit of fear, or whatever it is. They didn't have rebellion. Our kids never had rebellion. I was talking about some other kids, Angie and Bill. And so. But we have to get Satan off our finances. We have to get him off our health. See? Now, as parents, we have the right to exercise authority over the little children, but we need to teach our children how to use the authority that God gives them to use in life. See, we got to teach our children those kind of things. We can do it for a long time, but I think about age 12 is when the thing changes, because Jesus started telling his folks, I have to be about my Father's business. See, so somewhere about there, I think, is where a child begins to make their own decisions. Some people have never understood the role of church. If Christians ever understood the role of church, this church would be full and every other church in this community would be full, because we would have such dominion and power over the enemy that we'd be awesome. We wouldn't be worrying about things. Christians would be involved in everything the church does, because everything that they laid their hands to would prosper. But most people don't think that, because greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. That's what Scripture says. Jesus ran the devil off with the word of God. He didn't say, "I know, I believe I'm the Son of God, Satan. You know, I let me go check with the Father, see if I really am." See? He said, "It is written." And he really didn't even answer his question. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." See? So let's go back. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. We're still in Ephesians, but look at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Circle that. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." See, this is telling us we have it. Let's use it. Kingdom living is available to us. And you say, "Well, I don't know if this is for sure or not." What is the Lord's Prayer? It says, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." If Jesus didn't want us to do it, he wouldn't have taught us we can have kingdom living here on this earth. Well, why don't we see more people of it? Doubt and unbelief. Most people stop at a cross. Shame they didn't die right then. I'm repeating, because this is what happens to us. Few of us get baptism in the Holy Spirit, and then we're tongue-talking. The first person comes up and says, "Whoa, that's stupid. I don't understand why you speak in tongues." You know, quit talking in tongues. We don't even bother anybody. We got boldness. Oh, yeah. Amongst yourself, we bold. You cast out demons? Oh, no. Mm-mm. Might jump on me. But we have problems. So wonder why we don't get down the road farther? Is because we don't take our authority on those things. Now, I want to tell you something. Our young people, thank God, are not tempted with demonic stuff. The reason it would even be a question in their mind to be tempted is because the church has not ever publicly cast out demons. If you ever saw some person come in here and change physically before you and start snarling and growling and moving on and doing all sorts of wild stuff, and you'd see the name of Jesus get that person set free, you'd go, "Wow!" See? If we ever cast out one demon here, 99% of our visitors leave the first Sunday. They never come back to see how their boy's doing. I'm serious. They're embarrassed that they went to a church that cast out demons. But I want to tell you something. If we're going to be having kingdom authority, it might not be the whole community. Many go after it, but few to find it. We're going to find it this morning if you'll hang in there with me. Hopefully you don't get up and leave now. But I want to tell you something. It is the power of God that will keep our kids from going off track. Don't hold back from your kids. Tell them like it is. I remember with Bill, we used to have deliverances out there at the house. And you'd pass out Kleenexes, and Bill would go up and close his door to his room. It's kind of interesting. A couple times I thought about getting up there with him, because it was pretty wild. You see a person 100 to 110 pounds lift up a man on each side of you weighing 250 pounds. You know, I saw him lift up a bench and the two men. That's incredible power. See? But you know what greater power was? The name of Jesus. That guy got set free. He was just growling. See? The point is today, we have to take our spiritual authority. Now look back at Mark 11, verse 23. I want us to look back there. Satan has no power. If he did it, he'd be in heaven. He got kicked out. Some people fear Satan. "Truly I say to whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast in sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted." Do you ever say something to something like that? Huh. Oh man, it might mark me off, thinking I'm kooky if I say something to somebody. But if you do it, they'll get set free. See? It's not going to warp the child's mind if you say, "You spirit of rebellion, leave Johnny right now." See? It's not going to affect him because he's going to get relieved. He's going to get come back to himself. And it's amazing that we are so concerned about affecting his mind, but then we let his mind be filled with junk. See? The key word here is, though, say and believe. It takes both. You can believe all day, but if you don't say it, you're not going to get it done. You can say all day, and if you don't believe it, it's not going to get done. There's a time for praying, and there's a time for commanding. And this is what is really coming alive to me. Jesus prayed all night long, and he commanded all day long. You never see him going back and praying during the daytime because he prayed at night. He commanded all day. You say, well, what about the time he prayed in front of Lazarus' tomb? He didn't ask God to heal Lazarus. He didn't ask him to bring him back life. He said, so you may know that God hears my prayers. I pray. That's the only time you can come anywhere close. It dawned on me that Jesus never prayed for someone to be healed. Oh, Lord, heal this man. Please, Lord. He didn't do that. He commanded for the person to come forth. He commanded for that person to be healed. He commanded, 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 commanded. So, if you want to know how Jesus prayed, look at John 17:1. You'll see his prayer. You don't need to do it today. But if you want to know how Jesus prayed, look at it. He gave a good report. Okay, I want you to look at Mark 9, verse 38. The disciples were shocked here. Mark 9, verse 38 said, John said to him, said to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to hinder him because he was not following us. He wasn't in our group. But Jesus said, Do not hinder him, for there is no one who shall perform a miracle in my name and be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Now this is a key. This is what we're fighting against now. You cannot see a miracle of God and immediately curse God. And I want to tell you something. This is my own feelings, but I think there's a lot of preachers that say God put evil on them because they have never seen one miracle of God. Now, you think through with me. They might be an exception. But they do not know that God is a bigger God than what their circumstances are. But people say, oh, God just broke my leg. You know, he taught me something. Boy, I mean, he taught me how big he is. No, Satan broke your leg. You know, and God's going to use it for your good if you'll sit there and shut your mouth. But the problem is, miracles draw people to Jesus. Miracles will draw people to Living Word Church. And we're going to have to get in the miracle business. And this is what we're learning today. Further proof of the idea is what happened to Peter. When Peter had a boat sinking load, and when Jesus told him, throw out your nets on the right, and he got a boat sinking load, what did Peter say? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. God's goodness leads us to repentance, not evil. So, God's goodness leads us to repentance. We've got to get that in our thinking. Man, I'd like for it to get so good that I start asking God to forgive me all the time. See? But I want to tell you something. There is a point. It can get so good that you don't want to mess up. There is a level to get into that you know that all those blessings are coming because God Almighty has given them to you, and you don't want to do anything to disturb. There's a point there. I'm reminded of a story that happened about 20 years ago. Our neighbor next to us, his bull got over in our field. And the neighbor had been working all morning trying to get that bull out of our field into his trailer. The bull was, have you ever had a rebellious bull? I mean, they won't do anything. So the guy in desperation came up to her house, and the only one there was Angie. And so he told Angie the story and said, you know, I need some help. And Angie said, I'll pray. But it wasn't a typical prayer. She commanded authority over that bull. So, never heard any more about the bull. He went back to his trailer and all left. So, about a month ago, he came over to visit with us. And we had just been out in the field that morning. We had a cow and a calf got separated. We moved the cows over, and the calf didn't come with the mother cow, and so it was laying out in the field, And we finally found it in a 60-acre field. Now, we have 18 acres here at the church, so it's three times this amount of land. And so we finally found that little calf laying out there in the field. And so I told Paige, you stay here. I'll go get the trailer, and you hold the calf. Well, I don't know if you ever had that problem, but the calf jumps every so often, you know. So when we get back up the house, I got the trailer and went back and picked up the calf. When we got back to the house, Pedro said, oh, no. And I did, too. I lost my gold earring. Oh, man. You know, not even knowing for sure, we lost it in the field, you know. But somewhere I had a vision of her holding that calf, you know, and losing it. So we was getting ready to go back over there, and here comes her neighbor up, the one that had the bull. And so we said, come on, ride with us. So he gets in the pickup. And over the way over there, Paige Joyce starts taking the spiritual authority over the enemy. Now, there's just room for three of us in that pickup. And she started telling the devil, you're not going to steal my gold earring. And she was after that gold earring. I kept my eye on the road because I didn't want to run over anything. When we got to the gate, the man was very excited about getting out and opening the gate for us. But but Peggy Joyce was still on her case, getting after that gold earring. We drove into the area where we had been. Now, if you ever looked at, you know, an area that is 60 acres and you wondered kind of where you've been, the only thing you look at maybe is where the grass has been over by the tires. And that's about all we could remember. I mean, it all looks the same when you're out there, you know, trying to find a gold earring in a building like this and you got carpet, you know. You think about that in grass. So, anyway, he gets out and I start saying, nothing shall be hidden and shall not be revealed. There's nothing shall be hidden that shall not be made known. Nothing covered that will not be revealed. And maybe I was closer with the Lord or not. Nah, this isn't. Anyway, I found it. I found it almost instantly. And it was a shocker because it wasn't in plain sight, but it was. And so I couldn't miss it. And so I picked it up and I said, here it is. So on the way back, the neighbor was even more reserved. He was extremely quiet, very thoughtful. And he said, I started to tell you, you're just wasting your time going looking for a gold earring in a 60-acre cow pasture. But he said, I remembered years ago when Angela prayed for my bull to go into the trailer out in the middle of the pasture. And after she prayed, that rebellious bull walked right into my trailer. So I wasn't surprised that you found the gold earring. Thank you, Lord. It just happened. If you want to verify it, go. I'll give you the neighbor's name. But the point is, when we do things God's way, it's amazing. We're almost shocked ourselves. You know, but Pay Joyce took a spiritual authority. I confessed the word, and that guy saw a miracle. And he'll never forget it. He might not be back over real soon, but he'll never forget it. It's the same neighbor that was out there fishing right by our house. There's fence lines right by our house, and I've told it before, but he's out there fishing. I got that morning, and it's a long time ago. Big old dark cloud came over me, and I was just miserably depressed. And I told Pedro, I said, honey, pray for the spirit of the fishing get for me. Anyway, Pay Joyce opens up the patio door right in front of the tank, and she yells top of her voice, and she can be heard from here to the highway out there, you foul spirit, get out of here. Well, I got delivered. I don't know if it's embarrassment delivering me or what happened, but I didn't see the guy throw his fishing rod in the lake either, so. But she took spiritual authority. But the point is, it's the same old neighbor. I mean, I get some tickle at him. I bet he thinks something sometimes. I'm not going to confess it. But you know, I remember the good times, and now I remember some of the bad times. I remember when I was in a meeting, it was just a couple years ago, and it was just chaos. Man, it was just horrible. And what got away with me, when I got home, I remembered I didn't take spiritual authority in the meeting. Oh, man, the meeting would have been totally different if I'd done it. So we all forget times. We all failed at times. We all get embarrassed at times. It didn't even cross my mind that night. So we all make mistakes. We have to dust ourselves off. We have to get back on our feet and say, God, I ask you to forgive me for not taking spiritual authority and getting in the flesh over my kids or over my husband or whatever. See, I don't think there's a message in the New Testament that Satan fights any harder than the one of taking spiritual authority. Because I want to tell you something. The day that you tell that demon to get out of your mate, you say, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, you leave. And they look at you with every beady eye in the world, six eyes looking at you. Now that one person, they're dancing. You can always tell it's a demon when they dance. You know, their eyes get real small, beady pupils. And they might say, you get out of me too. You know, something like that. Now, you give up right then or you just push on through. See, I'm not being funny in a sense. This is what you got to do. They're going to say, in the name of Jesus, get out of you too. Well, I go with that. I don't want anything in me either. But you don't sit there, I don't want anything in me either. You just say, you foul spirit, you leave. You just ignore what they're hitting you with. But we have to take authority to live in year 2000. Amen. If we're going to live to be year 2000, we're going to have to take authority. Because we can enjoy victory or we can lose the battle if we don't take a spiritual authority. So watch your voice and what you're saying. And don't cow down. The greater is he that's in us and he's in the world. If you love Jesus, you're already radical. That's what the world says, so I mean, just give them something to talk about. Had a couple that came up to Angie not too off long back, and she said, I understand your father raises goats from the dead. She said, well, I didn't see that. My brother saw that, but I saw my dad raise a duck from the dead. Person said, I want to yell. And she did. She said, I want to scream, but I know it's true. See? What I'm getting at, they're going to mark you off one way or the other. So you just give them something good to mark off, and someday they'll need you, and they'll come back to you, and they'll say, I know you're religious, you know, but I need your prayers. See? The devil will fight you very hard at this, taking authority. So don't cow down the first time you do it. Just keep on going. Remember this guy, I taught this a number of years, 20-some years ago, and this guy calls us about 11:30 at night, and he says, come quickly. I said, what's wrong? He says, my wife's trying to drown herself in the commode. We came over quickly. And we got through casting the spirits out of her, and it was real interesting. He started seeing there's 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 98 bottles of beer on the wall. He kept singing that silly thing while we was trying to get the spirits out of him. He used to be an alcoholic. I didn't know it. And he got set free that night too. Never has drank again. It can be fun telling war stories. I could go on and entertain you all day long on war stories. But you don't get them unless you cast demons out. You don't have fun in life. You can lay down at night and just get flat tickled over things that happen in the daytime. Because I want to tell you something. You never know what someone's going to do when you start casting out demons. You never know what's going to happen when miracles start happening. It gets fun in life. And you don't have to pay money to rent a video. That's the greatest video you ever laid out. Paige Austin and I will get tickled some nights laughing about the neighbor or something like that. We have, when I started putting this in the sermon, we just got flat tickled about that old boy that day. How sober he was. Man, he didn't say anything. You know, he was just dead silence in that pickup. But it's fun. It is real fun seeing miracles of God. So let's not stop off the way on the way to the, you know, to the cross. Let's ask Jesus in our hearts this morning. Let's not stop at the cross and let's go on get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then let's go on and take our authority in spiritual things. See, it's ours. It's a free gift. We just get tickled over some of the things that happen to us because we get embarrassed. But it's fun when you take your authority. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we will take our authority. Father, it's so powerful a message you have given us, and yet we don't even really understand it. We make light of it some ways because, Father, it's embarrassing to us how timid we are and how embarrassed we are to stand up and command demons get off us. But, Father, give us that boldness. Give us that authority. You have, we choose to make that choice today to command Satan to get off of us. And Father, I think if there's someone here that doesn't understand this morning, they'll not be embarrassed and not leave without understanding the fullness of your word. They'll not leave and think we're radical because, Father, it's their very life that's in stake. And so, Father, I thank each and every person here, a visitor or member or whatever, this is the first time they've heard it, Father. I thank you're just going to quicken it to them in your word, Father, that this is what Jesus did every day of his life. It says that the world wouldn't be big enough to hold all the books if we wrote up everything that Jesus did. And so, Father, I know that only the major miracles, the major deliverances, major encounters of the enemy was written. But, Father, we thank that we're going to be able to do greater things because he goes to the Father and he sits in the heavenly places. And so, Father, I think we'll take our authority in heavenly places. That we'll not be embarrassed over our stand with you. Father, I think we will be radical because you said you have no pleasure in people that deny your name. And so, Father, we're not going to deny your name. We're going to use your name, and we're going to see miracles after miracles after miracles happening every day of our life, Father, and we rejoice in it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. If there's, as you stand on your feet, if there's someone here today that has not asked Jesus Christ in your heart, I want you to come down very quickly, and we'll work with you on this. I want the prayer partners to come down because there's people that are fighting different things, and we're going to get the devil off of us. He cannot steal, kill, destroy from us. We have authority over him, and so the Bible says one can put 1,000 flight to 10,000. If your prayer partners will come very quickly, and if you're fighting anything, let's get it off of you. Let's break it today because we have dominion, we have the power, we have the ability to do it. And so, you know, we're family. When the family hurts, all of us hurt. So we're standing agreement today. If there's someone that needs help in any area, it doesn't matter. Maybe you want to pray for someone else. Maybe you want to stand in agreement with you on for somebody else. Because I want to tell you something. It gets fun living on this earth when we have kingdom living.
In the Spirit, you are before.